And now we return to a story we've reported on several times this year, the rising maternal mortality rate in our country and our state. The fact remains, new moms die in the United States at higher rates than anywhere else in the developed world. But answers as to why can be a lot harder to come by, according to Dr. Kendra Gray with the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Phoenix. Last week, Dr. Gray held a mini med school forum on the issue, why so many young women are dying, and what the state is doing about it. I sat down with her in our studios after the event.
So in the state of Arizona, we're still collecting our data, and it's a little hard to get on top of this because so much of our data comes from a volunteer committee that works through the Arizona State Health Department. So we have numbers from 2016 and 2017, and we had just over 100 maternal deaths with those 2 years put together. Mm. When you look at the fact that on average, the numbers seem to be close to 700 maternal deaths a year in the United States, a big chunk of those would seem like they're coming from the state of Arizona.
And the thing with this story is always that we just don't really have a good handle on why. What are the things that come to your mind when you go about trying to find out why this is happening?
Yeah, so it's really multifaceted. Part of it has to do with access to care. A lot of first world countries have universal health care or other health policies that allow for improved access to care. In the state of Arizona, there's Medicaid, and we see that a good portion of our deliveries are paid through there, but mm-hmm. the government-issued insurances that we have, exactly what will get paid out is variable by state. We do have a diverse patient population. We know that our women of color are treated and have disparities in the healthcare that they receive, and their outcomes are poorer than that of white women. And even our educated women of color have increased risk compared to white women that don't have an education. Mm-hmm. And so we really have to start getting to the root of some of those issues as well. And then another important thing, I think, is access to contraception for women as it relates to the fact that U.S. women have more comorbidities or other medical conditions that are occurring. So we have women that are putting off childbearing so that they can pursue their careers. We have an obesity epidemic in this country, an opioid epidemic in this country, in this state. More women have high blood pressure, diabetes, etc. So if we can optimize a woman's health before she gets pregnant, then we can try to decrease the chance that she has complications in that pregnancy.
So it sounds like there are systemic issues and then there are sort of personal issues for women.
Correct.
We also hear a lot about sort of the increase in C-sections and inducing your birth earlier or before you naturally go into labor. Are those sorts of things playing into this?
So for cesarean sections in general, the United States does have increasing rates of C-sections. I think our national average is somewhere between like 25 and 30 some percent. So there are risks that are associated with that, right? There's risk of bleeding. There's risk of infection. There are risks to the next pregnancy, which most women don't understand. But it's important to note that sometimes C-sections are necessary. Sometimes they are the safer route for moms and babies, or sometimes in emergency situations, that means life or death for mom or baby to have that surgery done. But the rise of the C-section rate and the inability to offer a trial of labor after C-section certainly will compound our pregnancy-related morbidity and mortality.
Okay, so I want to talk about what's being done here in Arizona. I know that was the focus of this session that you held at the med school. So the health department got this big grant to study the issue. The governor has created an advisory committee to look at the kind of data collection around this issue. Give us a sense of what the state is doing and how effective it may be.
So Arizona has actually been looked at by other states and has been commended by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, as well as the Society of Maternal Fetal Medicine, for the work that they have done here. We have our perinatal collaborative here in the state where we go out and we look at hospitals and we give them various accreditations for the good things that they are doing. And then expansion of Medicaid, of course, has been helpful.
So I want to talk about mostly in this conversation what could help. As we don't know exactly what's causing these rates to go up in the country, that's a little difficult. But what are the kinds of things that you would recommend, having worked in this area and teaching medical students in this area? What do you think could improve it?
Well, I can speak to what we're doing as far as educating our students and residents. And so we're trying to come up with some really unique things down at the university, including things like using simulation training. We use a lot of simulation for these high-risk, low-occurrence frequency events that happen. So conditions like a maternal cardiac arrest or an amniotic fluid embolism. These are rare events, but they're catastrophic. And so we need to make sure that our young providers on our teams know how to handle these situations when they occur.
So some of it's about training.
Some of it is definitely about training providers.
What about the systemic issues? How could those be addressed?
I really think that when we, as a maternal mortality review committee, are looking at the deaths, what we have to do is keep in mind that these patients that we're looking at that have passed away, they are not numbers, they are real people. And until we get to the bottom of what their real problem was, the who's, the what's, the when, the where, the why that their death occurred, and really try to come up with actionable, feasible solutions that we think could have made an important change for them, until we start making this really real for us, we're not going to get to the bottom of it. Mm-hmm. So what is the issue? Do we have a lot of unconscious bias? Do we have problems with getting women to their postpartum visits? Do they not understand how important that is for them to have prenatal care? Is it that they can't get out of the house because there's only one car in their household and their partner is using it to work and they have two other children at home? We really have to look at each individual case and really put ourselves in the shoes of that mom and see what it is. Those small things are the big things, you know, that need to be changed.
Are there approaches that would sort of shift the mindset in the quote-unquote the system, the medical system, to focus more on the mom as much as maybe we focus now on the baby?
Right. So some things that we see are when women present to hospitals, sometimes they're going to different hospitals, and so the medical records aren't always readily available for providers to look at. So it might be her second or third visit for a same complaint, and the provider doesn't know that. Maybe she's seeing an emergency medicine room physician instead of an OBGYN in the ED because there isn't an OBGYN provider in that particular facility, and they're not aware of the complications that can occur in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Different things like that are small but important changes that we can make, connecting our healthcare records. And then really, you know, us as OBGYN providers need to be able to recognize and acknowledge complications too. I mean, we are the experts in women's healthcare, and we need to make sure that we are acting in that kind of a manner, listening to our patients.
Yeah. We hear a lot about mental health around birth and around pregnancy right now, about how postpartum depression is the number one complication of childbirth, right? How much of that could come into play here?
A great portion, actually, probably roughly about 30%. Our numbers seem to indicate that there is some component of mental health, and then substance abuse is probably another 30%. And of course, those sometimes overlap, but not always. We talk about pregnancy-related complications, things like your high blood pressure or your heart failure in pregnancy, but really the number one maternal-related death comes from trauma. So intimate partner violence, suicide, homicide, accidents, those make up a large portion of the maternal deaths that we see outside of pregnancy-specific complications.
So there are really sort of societal issues involved in this as well.
There really are. And we talked a little bit last night about the issue of maternal mortality kind of being this canary in the coal mine for the broader issue, which is our general health care that we're providing to women in this state and in this country, particularly reproductive aged women. You know, a lot of this push got started because we were wanting to do a better job of taking care of our babies. You know, so mm-hmm. like, let's take care of our babies. And then we realized, well, to take better care of our babies, we have to take care of our moms. And that's true. But we need to take another step back. And how are we taking care of our women in this country and in this state and prioritizing their health care?
I want to talk a little bit about your advice, I guess, to women who may be pregnant or thinking about it or heading into a birth or caring for a newborn, which is such a difficult thing to begin with. But how do you, as a woman, knowing these stats, advocate for yourself?
I think that that is huge. I think it's hard because a lot of the stories we hear about are that people felt like something was wrong, or they expressed a concern and they didn't feel like they were listened to. And what I would say is, if you feel like something is wrong and you know something is not right, you need to be an advocate for yourself. You need to get a healthcare advocate, a friend, a partner, somebody to come with you and be unrelenting with your care, and that your healthcare should be your number one priority, because you can't take care of anybody else if you yourself are not well.
Yeah. All right. That's Dr. Kendra Gray, an OBGYN and maternal fetal medicine fellow at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, Phoenix. Dr. Gray, thank you so much.
Thank you.